This audio interview has been produced by writer and spiritual coach Roger Miller of 7Ask7, providing spiritual life and business coaching with a difference to enable empowerment, growth and fulfillment. To find out more about the services offered by 7Ask7, visit www.7ask7.co.uk. Alternatively, dial 0208 357 9294.
Hi, my name is Roger Miller. I'm a spiritual life coach. Today I'm speaking to Rashid Ogunlaru, who's also a life coach amongst other things. His background is in coaching, training and personal development since the mid-90s. Rashid is also a trained and experienced facilitator. His experience began in the media and in PR and spans over 16 years. Good morning, Rashid, and how are you today?
Hi there, Roger. It's nice to be here. I'm very well. How are you keeping?
I'm well, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for agreeing to take part in this interview.
My pleasure.
Okay, I've just got a few questions to ask you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, great. Fire away.
Okay. First of all, I mean, I know that because I'm involved in coaching myself, I know that when we're at school and we look at careers, life coaching isn't something that comes up, and it's a type of career that people fall into through other life experiences. And I just wanted to ask you how, in your life experience, how did you actually fall into coaching?
Good question.
How did you find you?
It's a really good question. I don't know if I fell into it. I don't know if I parachuted into it. I don't know if I kind of like went on a gentle saunter into it. I think that what happened to me is that when I left school, I mean, your question is a really good point. We're not taught about life coaching or anything else, and I think that we're also not taught life skills, and that might be something that we'll come back to later. But you know, my story was I left school at 18. I wasn't that sure what I wanted to do. I had this notion that I kind of had an interest in media, and I kind of had an interest in marketing or advertising. So those are areas that I kind of faintly had an interest in. I then worked as a press assistant and as a press officer. So I basically was working in the media, you know, working with journalists, promoting stories, promoting campaigns, promoting books, promoting magazines, and promoting various organisations. And in that, one of the things that I was responsible for was training people to appear on TV and radio. And after the first 10 years of my career in media, I was made redundant. So again, I asked myself, hang on, what do I want to do here? And then I decided to pursue my passion, which was really for singing and performing. And I was busy singing and performing, and I met so many other singers and performers who struggled with things like confidence, life direction, money, and all the rest of it, the kind of things that all of us do, but often very pronounced. So that kind of struck me. And a friend of mine handed me something about life coaching. A friend of mine who was also a singer. And he, like me, wanted to do something to kind of help lots of other singers and performers. So looking at this stuff about coaching, I recognized that it might be a way to help them move ahead in their lives, you know, because it's all about helping you set goals and move ahead in your life. So I went off and I trained as a life coach with the intention of working purely, first of all, with singers and performers. But once I trained, I thought, hang on a minute, I want to work with people of all backgrounds. And partly because my experience had included being made redundant and so on, I became really passionate about helping people become masters of their own lives and their own destinies. And that's really how the coaching came about. And so for me, it's quite ironic that now what's happened for me is that the coaching has combined with the performing. I work with lots of people, with performers and creative people, but also with the media because I often speak on TV and radio and so on. So ironically, what's happened as a coach is all of those things have kind of combined. And of course, I'm a public speaker, which is the performance bit. So for me, Roger, it's kind of all kind of beautifully kind of happened. You could say it's happened by chance. You could say that it's happened by design. Maybe it's a mixture of the two.
Fantastic. I've got a question based on what you just told me. Mm. You said you work with people in performance, and I assume that people in that sort of field are very confident, very outgoing. If they work in that field, they're probably comfortable in terms of financially. And so if someone
Not necessarily. Interestingly, with singing and performing, it depends where they're at in their journey. Some people are very confident and they're very outgoing. Some of them actually are outgoing when they're on stage, but they're not so confident off stage. So what you often get with performers is you get a kind of a mixture of things that are going on. You know, very often they're confident in certain areas of their life, but there can be a lack of confidence whether they're aspiring or, in fact, high achieving. So often you get this kind of blend of things that is going on in their life. So performers are quite an interesting character because sometimes they're confident, sometimes they're not. They often suffer from the same things or they have the same issues that everybody else does, but often it's more magnified because they are doing stuff on a stage.
Okay, fantastic. I don't want you to name drop too much, but have you worked with anyone that we might know about?
Well, it depends how long you've been around. I've worked with a number of singers and performers who are on their way up and so on. I've worked with people who have performed on the West End. I've worked with people who've had top 10 hits and so on. But really, apart from performers, I just work with people of all kind of backgrounds. For me, I really love the blend. So, you know, there's a mixture from sometimes people ask me to work with excluded teenagers through to working with wealthy high achievers, people who are quite successful in business. But then I coach many people who are setting up their own businesses, and I coach lots of people who are kind of, they're just asking themselves generally, where am I going now in my career? And often I'm asked to go into organisations and coach their teams and their staff. So for me, I really do like the blend, but I also do like to keep my finger in the pie with coaching performers and creative people. And people are coming from a kind of spiritual kind of tip because those things are also quite dear to my heart. So I love the blend, and that's one of the lovely things about being a coach, that you get exposed to all sorts of different people, all sorts of different backgrounds. And for me, that mixture is very, very important to me.
Is there a hidden passion inside you to actually be a singer?
Not so much a hidden passion, because I was lucky that I pursued my singing, and what was interesting, you know, I was very much focused. I wanted to be a big star and all of this kind of stuff, and it was really interesting, the journey whereby what I ended up doing, the coaching, kind of happened quite organically. And funny enough, in many ways, what I sometimes say to people is that the song that I sing now is a different one. It's a different medium, basically, because to me, it's the tagline of my coaching is become who you are, and I'm very, very much passionate about people discovering for themselves who it is that they are. So for me, that is the kind of song that I sing now, although there isn't the actual singing. But every now and then I do dip into singing, and I was asked, funny enough, last year I was giving a talk at a big event in North London, and the person who booked me happened to know that I used to be a singer, and they said, look, Rashid, for this particular occasion, would you sing a number? And so I sang a number as well as speaking. So singing, if you're a singer, singing is always there in your heart. It's there, but the lovely thing for me is I don't have the need to sing anymore, which is beautiful, really.
Depending on what type of voice you've got, that might be a good thing, really.
That's a good voice, don't worry.
Okay, moving on now. Once you actually got involved in coaching, when did you know it was something you wanted to do? When did you know it was your passion? Because, we go through different phases in our lives and we try out different types of things. When did you know that coaching is...
Straight away. I always had an interest in people, and people development had always, interestingly, been in my career. So, so it was quite interesting that when my friend handed me the thing on coaching, it was really quite an interesting kind of period of time, because when I worked in the media, I used to train people to appear on TV and radio, as I kind of mentioned. And what was interesting, that in the very early 90s, my boss at the time had a program where he wanted to really develop some of the people who we worked with, who we put in front of the TV and in front of the radio. And little did I know, I was actually kind of coaching them to become far more confident way before I'd heard the word even coaching. And during the time when I was performing my singing, I was a volunteer for the Samaritans. Now, whilst that's quite different from coaching, there are certain things that are in common whereby it is about a space where people can be themselves, and you have to be a superb listener as to be a Samaritan. And in fact, being a Samaritan taught me a huge amount that was very useful for me as a coach. In fact, it's probably, in a way, the biggest single thing that was kind of use to me in terms of my particular approach, and that together with my own particular kind of life journey. So actually, by the time the coaching had happened, it was very, very natural. It was a natural fit from day one. And in fact, I'd always had this kind of interest in also kind of helping facilitate people. So the coaching, the speaking, it's such a natural fit. I don't draw a distinction between who I am and what I do. They're one and the same.
Okay, I think you've probably partially answered this question, but what type of people do you work with? Who are like your typical, I suppose, type of client, if you do have a typical type of client?
Mm. Well, for me, I mean, one of the things I say is that my whole mission is about people helping people of all backgrounds find inner fulfillment and self-defined success. So it's all types of people, but probably about half the people who I coach are people who run their own business, or they are an entrepreneur. You know, they're a sole trader entrepreneur. But then there's a real mixture between the singers, performers, and creative people. Quite a lot of people who are healers. You know, I know that you're, you know, passionate about the spiritual coaching. Lots of people who come to me are healers and healers, teachers. They're people who are kind of wanting to affect change. I'm very lucky. Lots of those kind of people are drawn to me. But then the rest of the time in an organization, sometimes people ask me to do work with young people. So there's a really lovely blend. There's been some politicians, there's been some wealthy people, a real blend. And for me, the blend is very, very dear to my heart. It's really important for me working with people of all different types, all types of backgrounds, just all types of abilities and so on. I really love that. And I think that for me, it's essential having that mix for me.
Okay. Again, another question. When you say you work with performers, a lot of people will assume that. Why do performers need coaching? I mean, they're successful. They're good in front of people. They're good in front of crowds, and they probably have a lot of friends around them. So why would they need coaching? And the same question in terms of, you say you work with people who are healers or spiritual type of people. Again, people might assume, well, if someone is a healer and someone is into spiritual type of stuff, why would someone like that need a coach? What sort of issues do they
have? Very good question, I've got a saying, which is, in order for the healing that we want to see in the world to take place, the healers must first take their place. And first of all, the healers must do their healing. So I think one of the things that happens, for example, for lots of healers is that they have this gift to be able to help others and to be able to help others heal. But often they do not spend that time. They do not have the them time. They do not actually nurture their own well-being. So they need that kind of space where they can be and so on too. So I find that many of those people I work with, so they're able to really be in tune with themselves in order they're able to be there for others and to heal for others, because it can take a huge amount of energy and so on. So that's the thing on the healer side. On the performer side, I mean, what's interesting is that on the one hand, you get lots of people who are aspiring, and, you know, they're building their careers, and actually very often they may not have the support around them. It can be quite a lonely kind of journey. So for many of them, actually having a coach can be very useful, because it can help them develop a confidence in themselves, in their craft, the clarity about where they're going, so they can move forward kind of strategically. You know, they may well have lots of people there when they're on stage, but they may not necessarily have that many people supporting them. And even if they are a successful singer, you only need to open the newspapers to see that there can be all sorts of pressures, and these are all ordinary people as well. Many of them are incredibly young, and what life has done is what fame has done has put a magnifying glass on them, and all the kind of issues that we all have become magnified, and it can be very, very challenging for them. And I'm very much passionate about helping many of those people who are being accomplished to find they may have success, but they may well be very much lacking fulfillment. And that inner fulfillment is my starting point as a coach, and it's the thing I'm most passionate about. And whether I'm working with anybody, that inner, the inner bit is where I start, the inner, so in order that then they're able to move from the inside back into the world.
Okay. Is there a difference between coaching and mentoring, do you think? And if there is, what is it?
Good question. Yes, I think that there is a difference, but then there's a lot of similarities as well. I mean, technically speaking, what most people will probably say is that a mentor is someone who's been there, who's done that in whatever particular kind of field and has that particular kind of experience. So, for example, if you were in the engineering field or whatever, it may well be somebody who's a far more experienced engineer. They've been there and so on, and therefore you're new, you're coming in. It's somebody who takes you under their wing, shows you how to do things. It often will be where somebody also has certain technical skills and career kind of skills kind of help you and your development. A coach isn't necessarily someone who has been there and done that, but their skill, the coach's skill, is in terms of facilitating that process, and is very good at helping draw you out of yourself, very clear strategically, in terms of providing that space where you're very clear about what your goals are, and helping you to motivate and believe in yourself. They have particular skills to basically unlock your potential. But actually, the common ground is that a really good mentor will be able to kind of coach, and a really good coach will also have kind of mentoring kind of skills, so that sometimes there can become this really lovely blur, because in a way that they are interrelated, but they also are quite distinct in a way as well.
Okay, because I was asked that same question a few days ago, and the first thing I said was that the difference between a coach and a mentor is that a coach has four wheels.
Like that.
So who's right, me or you?
I don't think there is any necessarily right or wrong. I think also what's interesting is I think the lovely thing that kind of solves this is that the client will usually pick exactly the kind of person that they want. So what's interesting is that sometimes people will want, very often people want a little bit of a blend of a coach and a mentor. Some people who come to me for coaching, actually they will want a little bit of mentorship in that. I think that with both of these things, coaching and mentoring, I think the important thing is that the client, the mentor, mentee rather, or the coachee, if you like, they will pick, it's really important that they pick the person who they believe has the skills and the insights in order to help them. And then they will pick the person, whether they are a coach, whether they're a mentor, but they will know subconsciously the skills that it is that they need. And I think that that's a nice thing that moves us beyond even the kind of definitions. But increasingly, you know, a good coach will have those mentoring skills. Interestingly, if you look at an area like sport, the very nature of a coach has kind of changed over the years. In the past, the coach used to be very much somebody who used to instruct you in terms of what to do. Nowadays, they are far more helping you develop the talent that you have. So there's been a move in this whole field of where people may well be mentors and instructors or trainers, and far more to a coaching kind of style, bringing in the technical skills that they need to.
Okay, and the other thing with your clients that again, I sometimes hear a lot from people that they feel that people who have a need or a desire to go to a coach are some way failing in life. But I know from my experience that in fact it's normally the opposite. The type of people who come to coaching are people who are succeeding and they want more and they realise the value of coaching. Could you expand that a bit?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's a myth that somebody to go to a coach is that there's a problem with them or they're failing in some way. I think that, you know, if you look at an area like sports and in business where many people do have coaches, actually they have coaches because they recognise they're wanting to be the best, they're wanting to perform better, they're wanting to climb the tree, they're wanting more success, more fulfillment, or whatever it may well be, more balance, they're wanting to move forward in their lives and their careers. So actually, it's the same thing in life. I think this is an important myth for us to bust, actually, that actually you do not have to be failing in any particular kind of way to get a coach. Actually, it's a sign that you're really wanting to move forward, and coaching is all about giving you that kind of space that you can move forward. In that way, it's very similar to having a personal fitness trainer. You want a personal fitness trainer because you really enhance your fitness, and there's a lot of parallel between the two. But equally, there may well be times where you might need that little bit of support, where you may well go to a coach too. But I agree with you. It, by and large, it's the people who are really wanting to move forward. So I think there's a huge number of people who could hugely benefit from coaching, who might perhaps perceive, oh no, it's only for people who are struggling. Not so. And get yourself a coach. And if you're somebody who's quite forward thinking, you will absolutely fly through coaching.
I know you said you basically work with all types of people, but I know that in everything there's some people or some things we wouldn't do and some people we wouldn't work with. And so what type of person or potential client would you not work with?
Yeah, I remember when I, you know, this is a good question. Again, when I was training as a coach, I think that one of the things that was flagged up to me that was really useful was that asking just a simple series of questions, you know, are you ready and are you willing to move forward? If somebody is ready and they're willing to move forward, then that is a prerequisite where they're most likely to benefit from coaching. So I think that the individual's got to be prepared and they've got to be willing to move forward and so on. Yeah. I think that in a way is the biggest qualifying factor. You know, they need to be prepared to make that kind of investment in themselves. That I think is the largest one, because I think the other factor is just whether the fit is right, you know, whether, you know, because you know, it is a relationship. It's about whether the connection is right. And I think the client will know that very, very early on. You know, very often before even the client's rung me, they will have looked at my website and that sense whether I'm right for me. So very often that they will have considered or excluded me from the word go. So the fit has to be right. But other than that, you can pretty much coach me. Anyone can approach me as a coach. I'm just trying to think if there is any other kind of pre-qualifying kind of factors. Again, with my particular style, you know, that my whole ethos is helping people become in tune with themselves so that they're able to move forward compassionately in the world. If somebody's got a very completely different ethos than that, they are very unlikely to approach me as a coach. So there tends to be a natural kind of fit that tends to happen anyway.
Yeah. There are different types of professionals, like your counsellors and therapists, and different people need different things at different times. So have you had a case in the past where someone has come to you and you have identified that they need some sort of help, but not necessarily coaching, maybe they need counselling or therapy, and would you recommend, though, that maybe coaching isn't for them, that maybe some other form of help or...
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely would. I mean, I think that this is an interesting thing. I think it would depend on the individual, and, you know, if it was quite clear that, I mean, this is a really good point for us to kind of, in a way, make what distinction there is between some of these other forms of therapy.
You know, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, generally speaking, coaching is, and this is a generalism, is really for where people are at a particular point where they feel ready and willing to move forward. Counselling is very often where people are kind of very often wanting to kind of resolve particular issues. So counselling may well spend a little bit more time looking backward or than coaching might. Whereas again, psychotherapy is going to be digging far more into the past. Whereas coaching tends to be far more present and future orientated. So depending where that person is at and whether they're feeling that they're wanting to resolve things from the past would point to whether they're more likely to see a counsellor or benefit from a counsellor or another type of therapy, and where somebody felt ready and able to kind of move forward, they're more likely to be drawn to a coach. I think coaches vary hugely in terms of the kind of people that they do. You know, sometimes certain people have approached me. I remember one particular story of a guy who I was speaking to. He ran his own business. We've sat down, we were having a chat, and we were a member of the same particular group. He said to me, Rashid, I've got these challenges going on. I really feel as though I need a counsellor, blah, 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 blah. I know there's something wrong with me. I intuitively knew from my experience, and this is from experience, I said to him, no, you don't necessarily need a counsellor. And the things that you're saying to me are, it's about us just tapping into this, this, and this. And actually, that was absolutely right. We were able to move forward. So I think that together you can actually identify what it is that that person particularly needs. So the lines are not always extraordinarily clear cut. And again, from the other side, again, certain people who are counselors, their particular approach may well have some coaching skills in there. So whilst that it is important to be aware of some of the defining factors and when somebody might be more likely to benefit from the other. I've even had rare occasions where somebody has come to me and they had been seeing a counselor at the same time, but it's part of their transition where it was toward the end of their counseling and then they were moving to go into the coaching. So it's not always clear cut, but by working together, you can identify what that person needs. The important thing is the client and that they get the support, the right person for them.
Okay, another question to ask you, which I sometimes get asked, who coaches the young coach? And this is a question for you. So how do you get the things that you give to your clients?
I think there's kind of two answers to this. I think that my personal view is, as a coach, I think that the part of the process of really being ready to be a coach is that whole the process of your training and your own development and your own development, which means that you need to yourself address the very kind of things and challenges that clients may well be coming to you. So, you know, the whole process by which many people train as a coach means that they need to look at themselves, their career, what kind of a person they are, and so on, to sort lots of stuff out of the cupboard. So that's the one side, I think, of the preparation, because there's no point if you're not a clear vessel for your clients from the starting place. But the other side, I think, of that is that I think depending what kind of a coach it is, some people will have ongoing kind of development, or they will have somebody who supervises them, depending what kind of coaching it is or what particular kind of school of coaching that somebody went from. In my own particular case, there are a couple of coaches who we co-coach each other because we support each other. We've got a lot of synergy in terms of what we're doing, which is really good for our own kind of development and so on. So I think it is certainly being about mindful about that and having, again, whatever support mechanisms work for the individual. So for me, there are a couple of coaches that I respect greatly that we get a lot from kind of checking in with each other, and that's the best of all worlds.
Okay, that's a great answer. Another question for you. I know you do work in different types of fields. You do work on TV. And I know you do work on radio. I don't know what that's still going on. Can you tell us a bit about that side of things?
Sure. Because my background's in media, and I used to, from when I was in my early 20s, I used to appear on radio talking about various topics in my various previous jobs. Media and communication's always been important to me. You know, I was in the media, I was in a singer and so on. Communication is very much at my heart. Everything I've done is about communication. So for me, the message of helping people, so to say, become who they are is very, very important. So pretty much from day one as the coach, I've done interviews on TV and radio as and when I've been asked. On all sorts of topics, from, you know, stress in the workplace through to inner fulfillment, through to relationships and so on. I used to do a regular slot on BBC London. I've done interviews on places like ITV News and so on. I'm a specialist, one of the media experts for Psychology's magazine. I've written for a whole range of publications, including The Voice and New Nation. And for me, that's really important because for me, that's about spreading the word. I'm an author too. I've written a book for people in business, which I've co-authored, called A Zest for Business. So for me, this is all part of that kind of communication of stuff that can be useful for people in their own way, for them to kind of get a value from it. So I love when I'm asked by stations saying, look, Rashid, will you come on and talk about this particular topic? It's very close to my heart. As is, for example, you know, when you ask me to do this interview here, because for me it's all part of the same thing about stuff that is very useful for people in their own way to get stuff that's of value, because not everybody necessarily will want to or will be apt for them to work with the coach one-to-one. Other people work in different means, so that's very important to me. And recently I've been developing my own television show, which we will be pitching to some TV companies to see how they feel about that. So that's quite a new thing it's on the boil at the moment.
Okay, you mentioned a book, Zest for Business.
Zest for Business, yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about it and what inspired you to actually write it?
Yeah.
And how did you find the process? Was it hard or easy, or how did you go about it?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's interesting, Roger, because the very, very first thing I ever wanted to be in life, I can ever remember wanting to be, was actually an author. That was the one thing when I was really a young kid, and I remember in my English lessons, when I was a very young kid, I used to write these long, elaborate stories, and when I was English, my English teacher was a bestseller, and he knew that I wanted to be an author, and he said, you know, if you want to be an author, you need to make sure you put, you know, you do these things first, and so on. So it's been quite funny that was there, and funny enough, when I trained as a coach, during my training, as soon as I finished training, I started to write something which hasn't been published yet, which is very dear to my heart, which is the essence of actually one of my audio CDs called Become Who You Are. So the writing thing's always been there, but the first thing that's actually been published as a book is A Zest for Business. Now, how that came about is that I work with a handful of other specialists who work with small businesses, and we're the umbrella name that we go under is ZestWorks. One of us is a leading marketing specialist. One of us is a business advice specialist. There's me, obviously, a leading coach. There's somebody else who is a branding specialist, and so on. And so one of the things that we decided, that particularly people who were sole traders or starting out in business, there isn't that much stuff there that books, there's lots of books out there, but lots of them are kind of focusing, you know, a huge tome on marketing or a huge tome on accountancy, and aren't that many books that are written for and by small businesses and small business specialists for small businesses. So we decided to get together and write this book covering all of the key stuff that you needed to know if you're starting or growing a business. And as a coach, it also includes, you know, the whole stuff about your vision and your passion. So I've written the first chapter and the top and tail bit of the book. So for me, it was actually quite an easy process to write because I had a certain number of, you know, pages to write, and I didn't have to write the whole book. So actually the process of writing a book where I was just contributing a chapter to and then just rounding it off was a very nice way to write a book, actually, because the process of writing a book is quite a involved thing. This is from someone who, myself, I've got another kind of book that's still kind of sat on the computer that hasn't been completed. So actually writing A Zest for Business was quite a fun and easy thing to do. There were some deadlines and stuff that wasn't as easy, but I'm really proud of it, and I'm really glad, and the feedback to it's been really good. And at the end of the day, my objective is to produce something that is very useful for people, that they can just pick up, they can be inspired, they can be informed by, and they can run with it. So people seem to be enjoying the book, which is wonderful.
Okay, fantastic. Do you think that a coach needs to be experienced or qualified in a certain type of field to help someone in that field?
I think that if they are, in the broadest definition of coaching, which would incorporate things like, you know, sports coaching and so on, then I think then, yes, they need to have some experience in that particular field. Although what's interesting, I was at an event a while ago with the former Olympic swimmer, Adrian Morehouse, and he said that what's interesting about one of his coaches never swam a stroke, but he was just a great coach. He knew how to get the best out of somebody, and he knew intuitively what was involved in swimming. So I think there are certain fields whereby it is generally going to be advantageous for the person to have skill in that particular area. But I think that broadly in terms of life coaching and business coaching, somebody does not necessarily to be experienced in that very specific field, but they need to understand or be able to assimilate enough of what is actually involved in there. So the real skill of a coach really is for them to be able to quite quickly get the clarity on who the individual is, what it is they're trying to achieve, the specifics that affect that particular person in their particular field. You know, looking back at it, for example, when I started coaching singers and performers, I had been a singer and performer. I knew quite a great deal about that particular field. And actually, in a way, I like to try and put some of that to aside, because it can be, in a way, a disadvantage, because you can be limited to your own kind of perceptions and your own particular kind of experiences. So I think one of the values in kind of life coaching is that person may not know, but their skill, but a really good coach is just somebody who knows about people, knows about how to get the best out of them, and that they are a really clear vehicle, and they've got those really superb people listening and facilitating skills, and they've got that toolkit of a coach, and that is really the most important thing for a coach to have. The experience in that particular field is not necessarily important. It can sometimes be a disadvantage. It can sometimes be an advantage.
Okay, I think that is a very important point for people to note who are looking for a coach when they look at their background. Things like that. They don't necessarily need to be involved or know much about the area of work or expertise, because it can be, as you said, a disadvantage.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I will say that I know that when I'm coaching people who are small business owners, that there is a certain amount of, I think that there, when you're coaching people in business, I think that is an area where you need to know a certain amount of business, about business.
Yes. Yes.
In order to really help people. And you certainly need to know enough that will then really help facilitate people so that they're able to home in on the key areas of business. And that's an area that I'm constantly kind of mindful of. And I think that for the coach, you need to be mindful about your own development in those particular areas. So that's an area where, for example, you do need to know enough about that in order to then help extrapolate the stuff that is going to be very useful. But you don't necessarily need to be in that person's field at all to be able to do that. You just need to be a very, very, very skilled coach, because the same things apply about the vision, the belief, and then the action that it is that you need to take, the formula for success, which tends to be the same whether you're in sport, whether you're in entertainment, whether you're in a relationship, or whatever particular field. It is about that clarity, about the self-belief. It's about the communication skills and the ability to kind of connect with people, and then developing what skills it is that you need to develop. And a good coach will be aware of that.
Okay. You are involved in lots of different areas, branches and spin-offs relating to what you want to do in terms of your passion. If you could define it, is there one thing that you would say you enjoy doing the most, and maybe one thing you don't like doing?
I think that the thing that ties everything that I do together is that it's kind of my tagline, become who you are. So whether I'm working in an organization, whether I'm working with somebody who is an excluded kid, whether I'm working with a high achiever, whether I'm working with a singer-performer, what's at the essence is helping that person to become truly who it is. I have a saying, you know, sooner or later you'll hear what your heart's always been telling you. Stop being who it is you think you should be and become who it is that you are. So I find that it's always the same. So, you know, what's interesting, I've had times, you know, Roger, where people would ask me to, you know, they come to me and they said, look, Rashid, I want you to just coach me on my business. Just coach me on business. Everything else is kind of cool. And I'll just ask them a few questions. And I remember coaching one particular guy who was very adamant he wanted me to just coach him on his business. I said, well, you know, just tell me a little bit about what led you into business. And the reality was, he only got involved in business because A, he spotted an opportunity, and B, he wanted to be at a point in a few years' time where he was wealthy enough where he didn't have to run a business. So that, therefore, the fact that, you know, the fact about what was more important to him in life was extremely relevant, and it was only because we tapped into that bigger picture that has actually freed him to move his business forward in a way that is healthy and conducive for his life. So for me, everything is interacted. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing with anybody. It's the same thing, you know, that people are wanting to authentically be themselves, and people are wanting success and whatever it means to them, and often they want to find that, and they're wanting happiness, whatever that means to them, and to help them to explore that, and they want to be authentically themselves. That is a universal thing that I find. So my starting point is always the individual, whether I'm coaching, you know, whoever it is that I'm coaching, the individual, and therefore that from the individual, that then we're able to look at how it is that they then interact with other individuals, and how it is that they interact with the world, and that's the basis of my approach, if you like, inner success, and then inner fulfillment, and then, if you like, worldly success.
Yes. I was reading an article this week, I don't know if you came across it, about health, wealth, and happiness. And it's basically saying that as time has gone on the decades, as a nation and as a world in general, we've become healthier and wealthier. But that that increase in health and wealth hasn't actually made us happier.
Mm.
And a lot of people link health and wealth to happiness. But this survey is saying that we've gone that way, but we're not happier.
Mm,
and the question I'll ask you is probably a three-part one. Could you define health, wealth, and happiness? And why do you think an increase in health and wealth doesn't make people happy in general?
So, that's an interesting point, you know, Roger, this thing about health, wealth, and happiness, really. The thing about these particular things is that they can be kind of slightly complicated, because we actually very rarely actually look at what these things actually mean. Take a word like happiness. Really, happiness is a kind of relative word. It's a subjective word. You know, from pretty early on, we're taught that happiness is a candy bar, or happiness is a sunny day, or what have you. But actually, if you really think about it, and if you kind of really cast your mind back as early as you can remember, if you look at a baby, or if you recall being a baby, you could be as happy by and consumed by looking at a piece of fluff as you could be anything else particularly. So that true happiness is actually an innate thing. It is an innate kind of joy. Gradually we're taught that happiness is either a house, it's money, it's this or it's that. Actually, true happiness and lasting happiness, this is the important thing because this is what most people seek, is actually related to a sense of inner contentment, inner happiness. And then of course we may then find joy and happiness in something that is external, but the true happiness is an internal thing. Health is an interesting thing too, because health, of course, relates to our kind of physical well-being. But it's interesting, isn't it, that phrase dis-ease, you know, dis-ease, not being at ease with yourself. So again, a lot of our natural health, it takes place naturally. If we're breathing well, that, you know, regulates the mind, that regulates the body, and so on. Our job is just to keep it nourished and to kind of take care of it. And the more it is that we lead active lives, the more likely it is that that's going to happen quite naturally. But it is important that we are quite active. So that's the kind of the health side of it. But it does also link to the mind, because I think it's also important for us to foster a healthy mind, a mind whereby we're at peace with ourselves. And that's where that self bit that I was talking about, that happiness bit, comes into it. And then wealth really relates to whatever level of material kind of security that resonates with you. We you know, like it or not, live in a world that is where we've chosen to live on a material plane, and so that is about, you know, well, what level of particular kind of comfort is it that you want? But I think the thing about wealth that's really important to remember is that that wealth springs from our own creativity, our own inner potential. We are all born with our own particular gifts, which gives us the scope that whether it is that we become a doctor, whether it is we become a teacher, whether it is we become a florist, whatever it is it might well be, that we have that our own particular, or a farmer, you know, whatever it is that we might well be, that we have that our own potential for wealth from our own innate kind of gifts. So for me, it's really important for us to remember the real roots of all of these words, because otherwise we can find ourselves lost at sea. As far as I'm concerned, it's very clear that true happiness is a very innate thing, and why so many people are lost and why so many people come to life coaches and other people is that they're really truly wanting to find that true happiness. And so for me as a coach, my starting point is always with the inner fulfillment. It is always, and that's why I use the phrase becoming who you are, because people have a sense that they've got to be someone other than who they are. So this is why the paradox in this phrase I use, become who you are, because you're already who you are, but lots of people are on that journey to rediscover themselves, brushing what I call the dust away from the flowers, so that you get back at that innate you that always was there underneath all the stuff that I should be this, should be that. So that's for me my definition of those three words, and they all come together. They all interconnect once one reconnects with oneself.
So are you basically saying that when someone comes to you, they might come to you believing or thinking that they've only have one type of issue. It might be maybe a financial issue or relationship issue or health issue. So they might come to you believing that there's only one thing they need help with. But as the patient develops, they realize that there's actually more things involved. It's never just one thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right, Roger, because typically often what happens will be there'll be one thing, and very often, most commonly, it is that somebody's not really sure what they're next going to do with their career, and that's telling straight away, because, you know, we're often taught that we define ourselves by our career. You know, who are you? What do you do? And you know, the first thing that somebody says is, well, I'm a dentist, I'm a doctor, and so on. So very often that's the presenting kind of issue that, you know, I'm not happy with my career or whatever. And then the great thing I think about coaching is that it's very holistic. So it's that space for that person to discover, okay, well, what's important to you overall in life? What's important to you in relationships? What's important to you in your career? You know, so you're absolutely right. Often it will be one thing or a couple of things that people will come in through the door with. The magical thing is that coaching gives them that space and then holistically to think, okay, well, what is it overall that's important to me? And where is it overall I'm wanting to be? And, you know, you can benefit whether it is that you've got a very clear idea of where you want to be, or if you're not sure what it is that you want to be or what's important. Again, a good coach will help facilitate that process.
You mentioned the word holistic. Could you tell me what that means to you then, and how you use it in terms of your coaching?
Yeah, to me, holistic just means your whole life. So, you know, not in a scary way. You know, it's not trinkets and magic potions and scented oils necessary. It's whatever your whole life means to you as an individual. You know, one of the reasons, to me personally as a coach, you know, one of the reasons why so many people kind of struggle in life or in particular areas of their life is that they tend to compartmentalize their life. So there is their work, there are their relationships, there's their social life. And actually, unless there's a space where you can kind of look at the whole thing kind of together, that these things will become kind of fractured, you know. And this is what happens a lot of the time. You know, somebody might lose a job or something may well happen in a particular kind of an area. And because we see these things as very fractured and we don't look in the context of what overall is really important to us, then we'll struggle. So I think that the great thing about coaching is that something may well have happened that's made you think, okay, what am I wanting to do now in terms of my career? But you've got that space where you're able to think about, okay, well, what is it I'm wanting for a job anyway? What's really important to my life and where am I here now? And then people tend to find that they pursue the things and they do the things in their life and they do the kind of things for a living that really feel right for them in that heart. And that's my particular approach as a coach.
Okay. What advice would you give to someone who came to you and maybe was thinking about either maybe take up coaching in some form or coming to you and thinking about hiring a coach? What advice would you give them?
Sure. At first, when someone was thinking about becoming a coach, I'd say sort yourself out first.
Yes.
Because I think it's really, really important, and not in a harsh kind of a way, but why is it you're wanting to become a coach? I think that people who are great coaches are people who have an empathy and a natural ability to connect with people.
Okay.
Very often in different kind of ways they will be nurturing people actually anyway. So that's one thing. But then, you know, to do the training, make sure you've got qualifications and then to have coaching yourself, because you cannot sell coaching unless you've experienced coaching yourself, otherwise you're a fraud. So you need to be able to have that. But then follow it. If it does truly resonate with you, then follow it. And it's like any other business, you're going to be the one who's going to have to make it work. It's not going to magically happen. You're going to have to make it work. So ask yourself those kind of questions first. In terms of if someone's looking for a coach, I say, you know, great. I mean, I think, first of all, you know, applaud yourself, because many people don't ever take that step. I've had so many people who've talked about coming to see me or dropped me a line. And, you know, I think that if you are thinking about having a coaching, it's a really good step that you are really wanting to put yourself first and to move forward in your life. I think what I'd say is check the coach's qualifications, read up about them or check their website, ask them a few questions, make sure the fit's right. You will instinctively know if that person is right for you. Ask them a little bit about how they work, check their prices. And it's important to see coaching as an investment. You're going to probably get far more out of it than the price you pay for it if you pick somebody who you feel in your heart is the right coach for you, and trust yourself and good luck, enjoy the journey.
So are you saying that someone shouldn't hire a coach without speaking to them or having some form of contact?
Yeah, I would say it's most important to, you know, do check them out. You know, look up their website. Do give them a call, chat to them. You know, don't feel nervous about it. You know, a good coach will be more than happy to chat to you. So, you know, if you're thinking about hiring a coach, I think it's a really, really good thing to, you know, look on their website, see if it resonates with you. Ask them some questions, ask them about how they work.
Okay.
And all of that kind of stuff, because then you'll know, because it is a rapport thing, and a really good coach will be more than happy to chat to you to find out if, you know, you're the right coach for them. And you will know, ultimately you will know if they're the right coach for you, but obviously check that they're qualified and the rest of it. But the rest of it is about you intuitively knowing that the blend feels right.
Okay, so you're open to anyone who wants to get in touch with you just to have a chat about maybe coaching or other form of
always. I'm always happy to chat to anybody. You know, people can get a hold of me via my website, www.rosaru.com, or you can just search Rashid, Google Rashid, R-A-S-H-E-E-D, on the internet, and you'll find me quite quickly. I'm always happy to chat to people, because for me, you know, my passion is for people to do what it is that they're wanting to do in their life. So for me, it's always a joy chatting to people, whether they come through to me as a client or not is irrelevant. It's actually about the things that could be helpful to them to move forward in their life, and you can tell that from people, usually from just a couple of minutes of chatting to them, and then they will decide what the next step is, if they need any next steps, you know. So it's, for me, it's always a joy chatting to people.
Fantastic. And one last question. In terms of what's coming up for you in the next few weeks or months, is there any plans you've got in terms of your coaching work or ventures?
Exciting things. You might know I'm the business coach of partner of the British Library. We've just started running a new monthly seminar there called Making It as an Entrepreneur. So anyone out there who's kind of thinking about or starting out in business, whether as a coach or in any particular kind of business, or you're wanting to step out on your own and you're thinking about becoming your own boss, you might want to look that out. Again, the details are on my website, but that's held once every month, and that will be starting from April 2008 from this particular month. So there's that. We're running a seminar specifically for creative people, a whole day open course at Morley College, which is in Westminster, called Success and Happiness, I think, for Creative Entrepreneurs. That's something that we're running. Keep your eye out for, a monthly event that I may well be involved in from May. Again, keep your eyes out for that, which is going to be an event open for the public, where people can come along and get some inspiration. That's on the horizon. There's a few other things that are kind of bubbling up that I'm quite excited about. And the other thing that I'd mention is that you touched on before is the other thing I'm working on is the Rashid Show, Be the Change, See the Change, which is a show that we're at the moment pitching to TV companies. It may well come to TV screens by next year at some point, and people can visit therashidshow.com, Rashid spelled W-E-D, and what you can do is, what I quite think is quite nice about this is that you can see a couple of the extracts from the pilot show, you can watch it. You can give us your feedback and your comments and so on. You can help influence the show. So people are more than welcome to check that out.
Fantastic. Just in closing, I just want to thank you again, Rashid, just for taking the time out today. I know you're involved in so much, and we even covered most of what you do. But I hope it's given people a kind of overview into your life and what you do.
Yeah, a real pleasure. Thank you very much. It's been a joy, and all the best with yourself and all the spiritual coaching and spreading the word all the best.